He's got a mic, and he's in a mood. Buckle up, Buttercup. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Look out.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Look out, there's a rampaging black bear behind you. Oh my God, look out. Oh my God, look out. There's some person in the distance that just yelled four, and there's a golf ball headed for your face. Watch out. Boy, that was close, huh? Hey, thanks for being here. Guess what this is? It's the Ron Van Dam Show. This is where you came for entertainment and a good time. The hell's wrong with you? That's enough. Hey, some of the people that helped make this show possible, the United Auto Workers of America, I don't know, John Shanahan, comedian, writer, he does this show thing, and also Jason Shaw does the music on this program, and Nicole Reed books many of the national interviews that we do, and then I just stop by to pick up my laundry. Pleasure to be with you. Thanks so much for being here. Make yourself comfortable and shut up, because I'm going to entertain you for the next half hour. I am going to juggle some buzz saws while they are buzzing. This is going to be incredible. Then I will do a couple of magic tricks for you. I'm going to make a lot of things appear out of a hat while I'm wearing it, which is a little bit different than other magicians. I also will make a 500-ton camper appear out of nowhere. Those are some of the magic tricks that I'll be performing today on the program. I will also be displaying my acrobatic techniques on the high wire about 300 feet above the ground. It's death-defying, but I defy it. Then I'm going to do some pantomime, as only I can do it because of the pantomime artistry that I do possess. I will make believe that I'm pulling on a rope. There will be no rope. I'm just going to be standing there making believe that there's a rope, and I'll be pulling on it. And when you watch me do it, you'll say to yourself, I know there's no rope involved, but look at him. It's so convincing, I can't believe it. Then I'm going to make believe I'm stuck in a box, which we frequently all do from time to time. Just yesterday, I was walking down the street, and I got stuck in a box, and I had no way to get out. But in my pantomime sketch, I make believe that I'm stuck in a box, and I try to get out by pushing on the sides of the box, and I make believe there's a top on the box, and I can't get out of it at all. Then I start getting claustrophobic, and in a pantomime sense, I start gasping for air and falling on the ground and becoming lifeless. And that is amazing as well. Yes, I do juggle buzzsaws. I don't know what a buzzsaw is, but I do juggle one. It's a chainsaw that I juggle. Oh my God, I gotta sell these buzzsaws because I can't juggle those. Hey, anybody want to buy a buzzsaw? I will juggle chainsaws. That's what I'll do. I've wasted 5 minutes of your time already. Have you noticed that? Keep an eye on the clock. Check out how long I can waste your time. It's pretty impressive. I think that's my biggest talent, actually. Screw the buzzsaws. Screw the chainsaws. Screw the pantomime. By the way, if you're looking for employment, I am hiring Indeed. That's the name of the website which I'm advertising. I am hiring. I am starting a new entertainment venue. You've heard of Blue Man Group? I know. I'm starting Turquoise Man Group. I'm doing it because there is no connotation to any culture involved there, any race of people, so I'm doing Turquoise. I find Blue Man Group to be racist against blue people. So I'm starting Turquoise Man Group. It's an offshoot of the Blue Man Group. I don't believe Blue Man Group in this day and age is specific enough. I'm going for a shade of blue here. And what we do is we put turquoise makeup all over us, and I don't know why. And then we stand up on a stage and we just start like splashing around in turquoise paint from Home Depot. And I take large Tiffany drumsticks and I hit a kettle full of paint and it goes splashing all over the place and it's very entertaining. And then we take toilet paper and we unroll it before your eyes on the stage live. I know, unrolling toilet paper on a stage before an audience. Who knew that this would be a popular situation? I will unroll up to 6 rolls of toilet paper all over the place. It's going to create a mess, but what do you care? You're leaving when the show is over. I'm the one who's got to clean up the damn mess. Then painted, of course, always in turquoise, we start having a rampant sex with members of the audience. And when you get home, your spouse says, "Where were you? There's turquoise paint all over you." And your response would be, I had sex with someone from Turquoise Man Group? Oh, yeah, right, sure. And you'd be off the hook. So that's my concept. Would you like to join Turquoise Man Group with me? No? Why not? What's the problem? Was it in my presentation? Was it in my explanation of the group itself? Is the venue scaring you? Well, you'll do it, but not in front of an audience? That's kind of odd. That's like a fetish almost. I did, about 15 years ago, go to see a performance of Blue Man Group in Boston. And as I sat there watching it, I said to myself, this is wrong. It's just wrong. It's cultish, and it's just wrong. I'm watching grown adults on a stage running around with blue paint on them, I feel like I should stand up and just yell, "Stop it! Stop it now!" But I didn't. When it was over, I went up to the cashier at the box office and said, "Is there any way that I can get some, if not all, of my money back for this despicable concept that has just unfolded before my eyes of grown adults running around like 2-year-olds in paint? Is there any way that I can get any money back and just salvage some of my sanity? And feel like I've had retribution for what you've just displayed before me?" And she was a very lovely box office lady. She really was. But her response to me was, "Get the hell out of here. What are you kidding me?" And I said to myself, you know, I could get mad or I could get glad. And I just left. And I said, someday on my show, I'm going to malign this group as being absolutely absurd. And this play, this Blue Man, Blue Dan, Blue Van Boop, is still operating in an illegal manner. And I think it should stop. I have a defamation lawsuit against Blue Man Group and Donald Trump both. So I figure one of the two of those cases I will win. And there you have it. Okay, I have an interesting show kind of today. I'm not too sure about that, though. We have a number of interviews to perform today before your eyes on various subjects. You know what I'm saying. If I sit here and talk for an entire half hour, people start to get wise to me. And if I interview somebody, they say, okay, I guess he has a purpose a little bit. So that's why I do that. Because this is radio, you can't see the people that I'm interviewing. But if you Google their names, you can usually find pictures of them. And when I do these interviews, they're not here with me. Sometimes they are. Usually they're not. So I don't know what they look like. And I have trouble having a conversation with people whom I have no image to go along with them. I like to feel like I'm having a face-to-face conversation, even though there are no faces involved. That's okay. See, during the pandemic, when Zoom became very, very popular, Zoom, stupid name. When that became very popular, I thought, okay, Zoom is nice and stuff. You know, people in a box making believe they're on the Brady Bunch. I get that. That was okay. But Zoom would have been more effective if it just wasn't, you couldn't see the people. I think that would be nicer because then you wouldn't have to worry about setting up all the equipment and getting the lights proper and putting on something from the waist up. You know, why even bother? If it was just audio, then it would have been really, really much better. You could actually do whatever you wanted while you were having these business meetings. So it didn't work out too well. There are still a lot of people wearing masks because no one tapped them on the shoulder and said, the thing's over now. Your chances of catching the flu are kind of better than getting COVID now. You don't have to wear the mask anymore. But I feel better not telling them that. It's like after World War II, people walking around with helmets on. And I feel like telling them, the war is over. Oh, I didn't know. No one told me. So, some people realize that wearing the masks pandemically, wearing them still now, you really won't get that sick because you're not breathing in anybody's germs. But I'm telling you, there's not a lot of germs left to breathe. Mostly these are allergies. People who sneeze and cough in movie theaters and things like that, they're not sick. They have allergies. So, maybe they have COVID. Maybe. I don't know. But that's kind of over now, which limits my excuses because I used to say, I'm sorry, I can't go out to lunch with you. There's a pandemic going on. It was a built-in excuse. People didn't question that. Now, you can't say that anymore. Just yesterday, one of my acquaintances, whom someday may reach the level of friend, but I doubt it greatly, said, Ron, would you like to go to lunch? And I said, don't you know there's a pandemic going on? And they said, no, there's not. That's over. Oh, okay. Then I have a dental appointment and I can't go. So, I still could come up with some stuff. Some of my acquaintances might say, Ron, you have a lot of dental appointments that you can't break because we never go to lunch or anything like that. And my response is, well, yeah, I do have a lot of dental appointments because I have a chronic dental problem, which I don't, but no one's going to argue with that. I just don't want to sit there and eat food with people. I don't find that to be entertaining, hey, would you like to go to a restaurant and watch me chew my food? No, I kind of don't. I don't. I'll go to a bar and have lunch with somebody, maybe, because you don't face them when you're eating lunch, or when you're talking to them. They're sitting next to you at a bar. There's no across the table thing at a bar. So they're sitting next to you. So physically, I don't have to look at them. And while they're eating, I don't have to look at them. And if the food spits out while they're eating and talking, it's going forward onto the bartender, not onto me, because they're not facing me. So I consider that as a possibility. And also, if you talk too much, there's alcohol involved. So it's not so bad to sit at a bar with somebody and have lunch or have a conversation, as long as no one turns to each other and does anything face-to-face. But sitting at a table, you usually have to face the person, and that's where it gets a little stupid. I mean, no, a lot stupid, to actually sit there and watch somebody chew while they're eating in front of you with their mouth regurgitating their protein. It's just not my thing. But every once in a while, I will break down and have lunch with somebody. But you've got to know this is an agonizing situation. You have to be a very special person and pass all kinds of tests and perform three miracles. I will take a break. And when we come back, we're going to speak to some people. And I think, but they're not going to be sitting across from you. So that's okay. Don't worry about it. It could be worse. Well, how about this?
This episode of The Ron Van Dam Show is brought to you in part by Gary. You know him, you love him, it's Gary. Looking for a little help around the house? Give Gary a call. Painting, gutter repair, maintenance, Gary's your guy. Looking for a classically trained violinist? That's Gary. Does your kid's birthday party need a juggling magic clown? Gary's on his way. Can't perfect that chocolate souffle? Here comes Chef Gary. Tricky algebra problem got you stumped? Gary has the answer. Need a spleen donor in a hurry? Get Gary on the line. Want to start, continue, or complete your ninja training? Gary is here to help. Still wondering who murdered your rich uncle and why? Put Detective Gary on the case. Need an ancient Sumerian text translated? Give it to Gary. Trouble trimming your bonsai tree properly? Gary and his clippers are headed your way. Spouse unsatisfied in the bedroom? You could use a little Gary. Brought down a wild boar with a bow and arrow and need it expertly butchered? Sounds like a job for Gary. Need a rival bumped off? Gary knows a guy who knows a guy. Looking for a drag queen in a hurry? Gary's ready to sashay on over. Constipation? Time for Gary. Need a flamethrower for reasons you'd rather not discuss? Whoosh, Gary's got one. Thinking that maybe some unnecessary surgery is just what you need? Gary's removed more kidneys in a weekend than most doctors do all year. Wondering whatever became of your high school girlfriend? Gary knows right where the Witness Protection Program put her, and he has her number. Whatever you need, whenever you need it, and for whatever reason, you know who you go to. It's Gary.
Gary is available 24/7 in all 48 contiguous U.S. states and by special arrangement for requests in Alaska, the U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and Guam. Contacting Gary does not constitute a legally binding agreement or contract, and Gary cannot be held liable for any damages that occur in the course of fulfilling the request. Gary does not openly accept monetary compensation, although such compensation will be accepted if offered, and the acceptance of said compensation does not constitute a legally binding agreement or contract. Any arrangement with Gary will be considered null and void if you ever ask what his last name is.
Tom Sullivan joins us now, Vice President of Small Business Policy, U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And we're talking about small businesses and just how important they are. Thanks for being with us today, Tom.
Ron, thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about small business owners. I mean, is that the prominent type of business in this country?
It is, Ron. Thank you. Thank you for asking. Here we see over 99% of America's businesses are small business.
Wow.
We certainly see that they're truly the engine of the American economy, and we're experiencing a boom in new businesses. New business applications are up 24% compared to pre-pandemic in 2019.
Wow. Now, is a lot of that due to the pandemic in the sense that people had to seek out their own employment and figured that was the way to go since they were home anyway?
Well, Ron, that's part of it. Part of it was the government stimulus that allowed people who might have been thinking about starting a business to actually afford to take the leap. But the real reason is because businesses are created to solve problems. Mm-hmm. And when the pandemic happened, there are probably more problems in a short period of time than ever before in our history. And so when it took 10 years for small businesses to bounce back after the recession,
yes,
it only took 4 months for the uptick in small businesses to start after the beginning of COVID. And that's because entrepreneurs swooped in to solve problems. We saw those new businesses primarily in transportation and logistics. I mean, how many packages can FedEx and UPS deliver, right?
Yeah.
So what happened was small businesses filled in that void, and we continue to see percentage of increase of new businesses year after year.
Tom, I wanted to ask you this. When I started my small business years ago, we had to advertise in the Yellow Pages in the phone book, and we had to do extensive advertising. We had to have a brick and mortar, the whole bit. I had to have office space. Now, it seems everything is so virtual. Advertising is kind of all social, that it makes it a lot easier to start a business and to put forth those ideas.
Ron, that's spoken like a true entrepreneur and small businessman, so thank you. Yeah, the digital tools that are now available are the great equalizer when it comes to small business. They're able to compete instantaneously with some of their larger competitors. So you're right. No longer do you have to flip through the Yellow Pages. You can use our friends at Google,
yeah,
for most of your work. And when it comes to marketing and advertising, it is much easier,
yes,
now using digital tools than it ever has been before.
Absolutely. Let me ask you about small businesses, which are large businesses, which are a small percentage of the overall picture. Do they also depend on small business?
Ron, the large and small business ecosystem is something that we focus a lot on here at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And we do that really in partnership with local and state chambers of commerce all across the country. And so we look at those things that benefit both large and small business. I'll give you an example. As part of National Small Business Week, we just launched the Prompt Pay Pledge Initiative. And that is an initiative that asks the larger businesses to pay their small suppliers and vendors quicker. It seems like such a simple thing, mm-hmm, and this isn't just about big business saying, hey, we want to share some love with the smalls. This is actually benefits the entire business ecosystem. Is larger businesses need more small suppliers, more vendors. And one of the only ways that they can attract the best of the best suppliers is to pay them faster. So we see this as a win-win. At the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, we are constantly looking for those win-wins where the small and large businesses are able to work together in order to benefit their communities,
right,
and the whole economy.
Now, very quickly, we also need protections against so many businesses being creative. Some of them are scamful and to be avoided. Is there a place to go where we can discern which is real and which isn't?
Yeah, Doug, you're so right. Excuse me, Ron. You're so right. Entrepreneurship isn't always a positive word. You know, there are entrepreneurial bad actors, too.
Yes.
On the one hand, small businesses are some of the most savvy citizens in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're able to weed out the bad actors and the BSers probably better than anyone else. But on the other hand, how do you discern the good folks and the bad folks?
Right.
You know, I'm a little bit biased, but I tend to rely strongly on local chambers of commerce. It's one of the reasons why membership at chambers of commerce is so high, because it,
yeah,
gives those businesses,
yeah,
authenticity and legitimacy.
Okay.
And I know this does sound a little bit like an advertisement for chambers of commerce, but it really is just getting at the value of these organizations that convene large and small businesses,
okay,
together for the betterment of,
yeah,
the economy.
All information can be found at uschamber.com. That's uschamber.com. You'll find everything you need to know and an extension of our conversation as well. Hey, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Lieutenant Jason Jackson joins us. He's medical surgical staff nurse at Fort Belvoir in Virginia. And thanks for being with us today. Tell me first, what is a surgical staff nurse?
Yes, sir. A medical surgical staff nurse is a nurse that takes care of sick patients that need to be restored back to health, or helps patients recover from surgery or preps them for surgery in an inpatient setting.
Okay. And this is done for everybody, but you kind of specialize with the military. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I am in the military, in the Army Nurse Corps. I've been in the Army Nurse Corps for about 3 years now. Mm-hmm. I enlisted in the Army initially in 2013 as a licensed practical nurse. Mm-hmm. After growing up and having my mom be hospitalized and being inspired by the nurses there, I got fully funded from the Army Medical Department from a program called the AMED Enlisted Commissioning Program, which pays for enlisted soldiers to attend civilian universities to earn their nursing degree. I applied and I was accepted to the University of West Florida, where I graduated with a degree in nursing and commissioned as an officer in the United States Army.
Wow. Similar to all nursing, it doesn't stop specifically with certain people in certain situations. When you talk about caring for soldiers and veterans, you're also talking about their entire families. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct. The role of the Army Nurse Corps is to primarily to support the warfighter in a deployed environment, but we also support family members, service members, beneficiaries here stateside as well, delivering care in a multitude of settings, whether it be inpatient, outpatient, surgery, whatever the case may be. The Army Nurse Corps provides ample training to serve the population in its best capacity.
Uh-huh. Do you travel from place to place in order to perform this?
Yes, sir. So being in the military myself about 10 years now, I've been stationed in El Paso, Texas, Florida, Washington State. But opportunities do arise to where you do get to go what's called TDY, temporary duty, to provide your nursing services at different institutions. Just during the COVID pandemic, we had a lot of nurses from our hospital travel to work at civilian hospitals all throughout the country to kind of backfill whatever staffing issues that they might have at their facilities. So traveling is definitely an opportunity for a Army Nurse Corps officer.
Yeah. Wow, during COVID, that was almost like a war zone. Probably was in many situations.
Definitely, definitely. But the Army Nurse Corps does provide ample training to be able to adapt and overcome in any situation. The training I received was second to none, and I feel very competent delivering care in any environment.
You know, it's interesting to me, Lieutenant, that I've always had a special place in my heart for nurses, because they deal direct with the patient. Doctors, surgeons, extremely important, but it's the nurse that creates this connection between humans, and that's just really, you know, that's really something that takes more than just medical knowledge. It takes human knowledge and emotional knowledge.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Circling back to my initial motivation to becoming a nurse, I get to provide for patients what those nurses provided for my mother. And just like you said, it's much more than just, you know, giving them medication or helping them to the bathroom. Sometimes, especially for our older population, it's important to just be that ear that they listen, that, you know, they get to speak to, you know, during those times and trying moments. Sometimes they just want somebody to talk to. Sometimes you need to advocate for the patient to the doctors. Sometimes you have to be an advocate for the family members of that patient. So it's important not to lose sight of everything that encircles nursing in itself.
Well, let's talk about one getting involved in this, in helping others in this sense. I mean, I assume that there are, we're looking for good, talented nurses.
Yes, sir. One of the resources is GoArmy.com. You can go on there and find more information on any job in the Army, to include the Army Nurse Corps or visiting a recruiter's office. I will say that there is a lot of tangible benefits to being in the Army Nurse Corps. One is included in that is continued education, to be able to go to courses that typically in the civilian sector you might have to pay for out of pocket in the Army Nurse Corps. You will get your regular salary on top of any bonuses that might be associated for attending the course. So, and that's just one of the benefits, to include, of course, medical insurance, life insurance, and everything associated with being a soldier in general. Right. There's truly no limitations to being in the Army Nurse Corps.
Right. I assume that there are transitions that go both ways. In other words, if you're in the Army Nurse Corps and you want to go into a community and retire in a community area and work in a hospital, that's certainly a good open transition, and vice versa. Someone who works in a hospital in a city or town might find that this type of service to change over toward the military end of it, that's also very transferable. So I guess there are opportunities on both sides of the coin.
Yes, sir. Nurses take a licensure exam in their state where they're certified by that state's board, to which they can work in that capacity as a nurse. So there's no limitations on job opportunities for anyone that might leave the Army Nurse Corps and go work in the civilian sector. Yeah.
Well, it's one of the professions that pay off, and at the same time, you can stay with it for your life and, you know, do some phase of that. There's nursing involved in every phase of our lives and what we do. Okay, one more time where we would go if we'd like to take a look at this and see if this is for us.
Yes, sir. You can go on GoArmy.com for more education on the Army Nurse Corps, the medical field, and any Army occupation in general.
Perfect. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.